far too many are unaware of the pernicious effects of marijuana. In fact, they have been party to a public information campaign that has gone on for years that pushes the notion that alcohol is far more harmful than marijuana. It is patently untrue. So before you take the action today to move this out of committee, we need to have answered, how will the systems and we cope with as many or more people smoking marijuana daily than do tobacco and use alcohol?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Susan Mannheimer. I'm the Chief of Police in San Mateo. I am the President-elect of the California Police Chiefs Association. Police chiefs are the primary providers of frontline public safety in California. We are responsible for providing the frontline public safety for over 78% of Californians and for our communities. The vicissitudes of the economy have turned, in fact, to downturn in resources and diminishing resources for that frontline law enforcement. I can tell you categorically that the legalization of marijuana will only increase the challenges facing us, and even more importantly, the legalization of marijuana will impact the levels of safety and service we provide to the community and the levels of health and welfare in that community. I want to ask each member to clearly and deeply weigh the following. What good can come from making powerful addictive drugs more cheaply available and societally acceptable? What good can come from a bill that would impose a $100 fine for illegal grows that are now plaguing our communities and the cartels that control them? What good will come from imposing a $100 fine for providing marijuana to the youth, our future? Don't we have enough trouble with the two legal drugs and mind-altering substances, as well as the health benefits and the public safety impacts of alcohol and tobacco? Haven't we all seen firsthand friends and relatives who have succumbed to chronic illness from using these drugs? And who among us has not watched as friends or loved ones lost their family, livelihood, dignity, and even their lives to alcohol abuse? Why would anyone propose adding to our nation's dependence on mind-altering substances, a move that will surely increase drug use and addiction in our communities? I would like to have you keep in mind now that the marijuana of today is not the dope that the parents smoked back in the 70s and 80s. The THC levels of the marijuana of today is over 150% more potent than the marijuana back then. And who's to say what else is in these substances? I don't believe that Procter & Gamble or Pfizer is going to be in the marijuana cultivation, standardization, and testing business. When people are under the influence of any intoxicant, and we have enough public safety problems, as I've already stated, from the legal intoxicants, they clearly make bad choices, and their inhibitions are lowered. Choices that hurt themselves, choices that hurt others, and place increasing burdens on the criminal justice system. Interesting to think that adding additional intoxicants will only increase the level of drug driving, the level of youth unprotected sex, and delinquent behavior in our young people. The proponents would have you believe that somehow the passage of AB 390 will wipe out all criminal trafficking in marijuana. Such a position is not only naive, but patently dangerous. In the Netherlands, the number one organized crime enterprises involving in the drug trade have increased 30-fold since the nation legalized marijuana use. And their cafes have run rampant. In fact, they are looking at controlling and cutting down on them. Under AB 390, those that provide the majority of marijuana to the state of California are the drug controls who have so much invested in marijuana cultivation. Do we think they're merely going to go away because it has now been legalized or decriminalized? No, they will be strengthened and find ways to use fronts to become legal cultivators. These are the same cartels that are causing havoc and public safety impacts throughout the country. They are given the ridiculously low penalties for illegal cultivation and will simply not only keep doing what they're doing, but I say to you that they will proliferate. What AB 390 will bring about is a quantum increase in the availability of marijuana. Under AB 390, every liquor store, every supermarket with a full liquor license will be able to sell marijuana as a matter of right. Such an increase in availability will inevitably result in increased marijuana use and widespread availability, as we have seen with alcohol and tobacco and other substances, will only ensure that it gets more appropriately into the hands of those who can do the most damage with it, which are our youth. Proponents would say, so what? Increased use will mean increased money for the state's coffers. What's the harm? To balance the budget on the backs of the harm caused by illegal intoxicants is mind-boggling, to say the least, and I would call it blood money. First, let's debunk the myth that the marijuana tax, so-called tax, will increase the state's coffers. The RAND study has debunked that myth, and frankly, we believe that there will be more impacts in both health and public safety costs to our community, to say nothing of drug driving accidents. That was the experience in Alaska, where their failed attempt in decriminalizing marijuana for adults resulted in a use among minors that was double the rest of the state once they had decriminalized it. Is there anyone in this room who thinks that increased marijuana use amongst minors is a good idea? I know you're going to try and get this to the Health Committee. I can't wait to have you all hear what the devastating impacts to the health are of this substance, including the carcinogenic and other effects.
I have a lot of witnesses. I'm going to ask you that.
Thank you. Let's look at the increase in crimes associated with drug use and understand that AB 390 does not grant money to people to buy these drugs. Because they're now legalized, that doesn't mean that the addicting properties won't cause more crimes as people struggle to find the money to buy marijuana. We will see an increase in those crimes which we know are correlated and associated with drug use, auto burglaries, robberies, residential burglaries. And again, let's talk to Alaska about why they have recriminalized the use of marijuana. Third, plan on the school dropout rate increasing. And the fact is, don't be surprised if violent crimes increase. I know everyone says marijuana does nothing but make a person mellow. The problem with this is that it's simply not true. In 2002, a British study published in Criminal Behavior and Mental Health concluded that persons with marijuana dependence were more likely to engage in violent behavior than those who were not marijuana users. We already see this with domestic violence cases and with other cases amongst teen-on-teen violence, and we are very concerned about this. The proponents will have you say that none of this matters, that we will make money and we will have more resources. Why, ladies and gentlemen, would we have more resources to fight the crimes that will come from the increase in the use of marijuana and other mind-altering substances? Finally, as a 25-year law enforcement veteran and a mother of two, I am alarmed by the dramatic increase in efforts to legalize or decriminalize powerful and dangerous drugs, including marijuana. I am surprised that the drumbeat of the drug legalizers sounding an alarm that the drug war has failed, as you have just heard from our previous speaker, in fact it has not, but has continued to suppress the use of marijuana amongst our youth. And I am appalled by the suggestion that legalizing and taxing marijuana is a smart way to close the government budget gap, impacting our health, our safety, and our public welfare. Don't sell out our youth and our future for this ill-conceived and misguided attempt to increase legal intoxicants in our communities. Thank you.
Good morning, members of this committee. My name is Bishop Dr. Ron Allen. I am the CEO and president of the International Faith-Based Coalition. I represent all denominations. You know, I thought when I was asked to testify that I would prepare a paper, be professional, jot down talking points. And then it dawned on me, I live it every day. I don't need to write down talking points. I see the devastation of marijuana and the devastation of drugs in my community. In 2009, I buried six youth. I invite each and every one of you, the next funeral that I have to bury a youth, I want you to come and look in that coffin with me. And you can really see the devastation of drugs in our community. Tax dollars? Are you kidding me? Seriously? On the backs of our youth? On the backs of our generation? Isn't it amazing that the fine in this bill for selling to youth is $100? What does that tell us? Isn't this really about our youth and our next generation? Come into my community. I was raised in the community of Oak Park. I want you to see the devastation of illicit drugs. I want you to see the crime that we have to deal with. I want you to clearly understand that if marijuana is legalized and we have to deal with it in our liquor stores and we have to deal with it in our corner stores and we have to deal with it in our community, I want you to jot this down. You have never seen a devastation like you're going to see. Why in the world would we want to legalize one more drug and to say it's going to cure our economy? Well, what's it going to do in my community is cause us to lose a generation. Is it really worth it? Alcohol is legalized. Tobacco is legalized. The third drug is pharmaceutical drugs. And our youth are dying every day. I plead with you to really think about this carefully and to clearly understand that this might not cause a devastation in your community, but in my community, we already have a problem that we can't overturn. Already have a serious problem that we are trying to deal with. We're talking about public safety. Follow me around one day, walk in my shoes one day. Contact me one day and say, Bishop Allen, I want to walk with you through your community. It would change your mind. 3 weeks ago, we just buried a young lady, 21 years old, ecstasy. I know you're thinking, what is causing all this passion from this man? I am a recovered addict myself. 7 years on crack cocaine. Oh, don't let this caller fool you. I have firsthand experience of what an addiction will cause. And to tell me, and I have to tell my colleagues, that we're talking about a public safety committee that's thinking about legalizing drugs and absolutely understand that it would increase the usage 20 to 40%. And you wonder why we're outraged? By the way, my first choice of drug was marijuana. And I graduated to crack cocaine. Listen to my heart. I don't think you want this blood on your hands. I would love to have all your numbers, phone numbers, because I have a real strong feeling that I'm going to bury more youth in 2010. And I'd like for you to be there. And the six we buried, of course, was drug related. Think about it before you vote. Think about the devastation, the carnage. Think about the youth. Think about the next generation. Come on. Seriously. Thank you very much. Thank you, Bishop.